First of all, I want to remind you, we have the last of our movie with McNeil until September. It'll be Wednesday at 2 o'clock, and again at 7. The movie this week is White Bird. Also ask you to pray for our newly ordained priests and ask that the Lord would help them to be joyful and faithful and persevering in their ministry. St. Peter's at the gates welcoming people into heaven. And he says to each before they come in, we have a question for you. And he says, I want you to spell a word. The first person, he says, spell cat, C-A-T, dog, D-O-G. And basically it goes on like this for some time. And a woman comes up, he says, spell God, G-O-D. And just then, St. Peter gets a call. He has to go and talk to Jesus. He says, well, you saw what I'm doing here. You just continue doing it that way. She said, okay. And she's doing it again, giving very simple words. And then she sees her former husband come up. She says, spell chrysanthemum. I don't know how to spell it either. The point is the hardship that Paul refers to in the first reading. Sometimes we have hardships because of circumstances. Very often it's hardships because of others. In the Acts of the Apostles last week, we saw Paul and Barnabas expelled from Antioch. And you have to notice there's two Antiochs. There's Antioch in Pisidia, and there's Antioch in what is today Syria. And that's where was the bigger city of Antioch. And though they were expelled from Pisidian Antioch, they could rejoice that while some had rejected the gospel, others had accepted and came to faith. And they also rejoiced in their sufferings, that their witness of joy, in spite of opposition, could testify to the truth of what they proclaimed. And they share later the good news that the gospel is not just for the Jews, but for Gentiles, that God calls everyone to his grace and life. In the second reading from Revelation, we are reminded that the whole purpose of the book of Revelation is to proclaim that in spite of persecution and opposition by the world, Jesus' victory is still assured and absolute. Finally, in the gospel, it's on the very eve of the Passion, and Jesus speaks of being glorified. That doesn't make sense, except for the resurrection, because Jesus knows the physical sufferings that he is going to endure and the spiritual sufferings when he feels abandoned by his Father, and the emotional sufferings that even his closest friends, whom he calls my children, will abandon him. And yet he understands and wants us to understand that this is the way the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit planned from the very beginning, from all eternity, the best and only way to undo the sin of Adam and our own sins. Then Jesus gives a command that is hardship. Love one another as I have loved you. Because the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit love each of us, we are to love in that way. Why is it a hardship? Because love is hard. Love isn't just a feeling. It has to be a decision. And love can be hard because sometimes our love is not returned, but rather rejected and refused. Love can be hard when it means we have to speak the truth and still be laughed at and rejected. Love can be hard when people slander the church we love by lies, even when they refuse to see or to hear what is true. But we are still called to love and to forgive That's hard. Because when we are hurt, our natural reaction is to strike back. But instead, we are called to love. We are called to pray for our persecutors and our enemies, and to be kind even when it's the hardest for us. We are to pray, as St. Thomas More prayed, for those people that were seeking his own death. He prayed that they might merrily meet in heaven. Let us ask Jesus for the fullness of his love, that the world may know that we are his disciples and that we are called to nothing less than eternal life.